Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. God of unimaginable love, on the first Christmas, you became one of us. We celebrate your love for every person, every place and time.
God of all humanity, you offered your peace to anyone who would be satisfied with your presence.
We celebrate your peace in your church and accept your commission to share it in all the world. God of the shepherds, you announced your arrival among us to the poorest, the most humble. Good news to each of us and to everyone right here where we are. God of deliverance, you came to be one of us in order to deliver all of us.
We celebrate your protection and mercy
for all who are sick or in trouble.
God of birth, when you became as we are, you opened yourself to each of us, no matter who or what we are.
We celebrate this day your kingdom, and that we are welcome in it right now and always. Keep us close now and in the life to come.
God of Christmas, bless us as we once again celebrate your coming into your creation.
Amen. Amen.
On this holy night, we light all the candles of the Advent wreath.
For us, a child is born.
To us, a son is given.
And the government will be on his shoulders.
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
O God of hope, peace, joy, and love, as Mary and Joseph welcomed you into the world, now help us welcome you into our lives. Give us courage to hope, strength to seek peace. Fill our spirits with joy and our hearts with love. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all.
Amen. Amen.
Oh. We welcome you to this sacred celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Christ and King. Tonight you will experience ancient and modern carols from around the world. The word carol is of rather uncertain origin, but probably comes from the French word caroli, or the Latin carula. The original meaning of the word seems to have been a circle dance, quite literally, a dance form in which participants moved in a circle to the accompaniment of song or music. These were primarily folk dances, which were secular in nature, but sometimes performed in celebration of a deity or an event, and on festive occasions. Over time, the use of carol to describe the folk dance was dropped in favor of using it to describe only the music. Carols were actually written and sung in all four seasons, but gradually this activity became regulated solely to the event of Christmas. Within the Christian religion, the term was later developed specifically for songs of praise which celebrated the birth of Christ, usually with verse and a repeated chorus. See Him Born, the Divine Christ Child, was published for the first time in 1862 by Grosjean and Webster. The text of the carol details the birth of Jesus and the 4,000-year wait for this wonderful event as foretold by the prophets. It both observes the humility of Christ's birth in a stable and the call to the kings of the Orient to attend the child. Christmas Bells, better known as Carol of the Bells, was written by the Ukrainian composer Mykola Leonidovich in 1914. The conductor of the Ukrainian Republic Choir commissioned Leonidovich to create the song based on traditional Ukrainian folk chants. The original folk story related the carol with the upcoming New Year, which in pre-Christian Ukraine was celebrated with the coming of spring in April. The original title relates to the generous one, which perhaps is derived from the Ukrainian word for bountiful, and tells a tale of a swallow flying into a household to proclaim the bountiful year that lies ahead. With the introduction of Christianity to Ukraine and the adoption of the Julian calendar, the celebration of the new year was moved from April to January and to the Christmas season. Here are a few facts about Christmas carols you may not be aware of. Early Christians took over the pagan solstice celebrations for Christmas and gave people Christian songs to sing instead of pagan ones. In roughly AD 129, a Roman bishop decreed that a song called Angel's Hymn should be sung during the Christmas service in Rome. Another famous early Christian hymn was written in 760 by Comus of Jerusalem for the Greek Orthodox Church. When Oliver Cromwell and the Puritans came to power in England in 1647, the celebration of Christmas and the singing of carols was outlawed. However, the carols survived as people still sang them in secret. As lately we watched is an old carol that comes from Austria, which is sometimes sung to the tune of the English Christmas carol, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. As with other carols, such as Angels We Have Heard on High, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, this carol tells the story of the Nativity from the point of view of the shepherds near Bethlehem, who follow the path of the star. Here the angels proclaim the birth of the newborn king and finally see the infant in his manger throne. Wexford Carol is a beloved traditional Irish carol, also known as the Enniscorthy Carol. And this is because it was originally collected by a folklorist named Grafatan Flood in Enniscorthy, a town in Ireland's County Wexford, as well as Carol Lough Gorman, the Irish translation of Wexford Carol. The lyrics, which are in English, date as far back as to the 12th century.
Oh,
Now, please stand as you are able and join the choir in singing these beautiful old Christmas carols. Seolgan is a traditional Welsh lullaby written by Robert Bryant. It was first recorded in print around 1800. The carol's title simply means lullaby, Seol, lull, and John song. The enticing tune is also used in several other Welsh songs, including As the Winter Days Grow Larger, Christ Before Us, and Now the Heavens Start to Whisper. We cannot listen to these various Christmas carols without hearing from an American composer. Carol of the Little King denotes the coming of Christ to live among the people so loved by God, his Father.
Thank you.
The Sussex Carol is a Christmas carol made popular in Britain, sometimes referred to by its first line, "O Christmas night, all Christians sing." The words were first published by Luke Wadding, a 17th century Irish bishop, in a work entitled Small Garland of Pious and Godly Songs in 1664. From Russia comes the beautiful Christmas Jubilee. Here are the details of the shepherd and wise men as they learned about the birth of the Christ child and made their way to the manger to worship the newborn king. Joining us as we traverse the globe singing ancient and modern carols. May you be filled with the richness and mystery of the Christmas season, where people from all around the world celebrate the birth of our King and Lord. Please stand with us to sing the familiar German carol, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice," after which you may be seated.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven. For with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before... On them light has shined. They rejoice before you as the joy at the harvest, as people exalt when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This time I would like to invite any children who would like to come forward for the children's homily to come now. Okay. You can have a seat anywhere you want here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on up. All right. Any others? Okay. Just want to wait a second, make sure anybody else doesn't want to come up. All right, so I've got this thing here, and there's a lot of pieces to it. And I'm wondering if you have ever seen anything quite like this. Have you ever seen anything quite like this? Oh, you have. Okay. So what is this thing called? Who knows? You got the three kings over here? Yeah, that's exactly right. So we got one, two, three kings. Is that what you're talking about? Okay. What were you going to say? Yeah. It's got a little shed over it, you said. Yeah.
And it's flat.
Oh. It's flat. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like animals on the side.
Right. What kind of animals are in yours at home? There's a cow. Any lobsters?
No.
No, that would be strange. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else seen something like this before? In the Bible story. That's right. Yep. What about out there? Is anybody, what would you call this thing? The nativity. The creche. What a weird word. Creche. I love it. What else? Yeah. What is it? Oh, there's another one behind me. Oh my goodness. Get up. Knock over half of them as I do it. Yes, there's a whole nother, and it looks a little different back there, right? Let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever said to you, don't touch this? On one of these things? Yes. Right. Well, when I'm done with this story, this one right here, you can touch it. It's here for you for that. You can do that all you want. But what I want to do is tell you about each of these people in this story. And I want to start with this person. This is the baby Jesus. And I want you to notice something about him. His arms are like this, open wide. I think ready maybe to give you a hug. If you wanted one, needed one. And here, this is a cow. And so he's later in the story. I mistook him. This is the donkey. And I'm going to pass the donkey around. The reason we have a donkey is because Mary and Joseph, the mother and the father, they had to travel a long way to Bethlehem that night to have the baby Jesus. And I don't know this for sure, but I'm told that when you're pregnant, it's hard to walk and you're ready to have a baby. It's really hard to walk. And so Mary would get up on that donkey. I don't know this either, but I'm told that when you're about to have a baby, it's hard to ride a donkey. And so Mary would get down and walk. And walk and get up on the donkey and get down and walk. And that's how they made it all the way to Bethlehem that night. And here we have a shepherd. I'm going to start on this side with the shepherd. And there were a lot of shepherds that night, but we just have the one. That's all we need to tell our story. And three little sheep. I'm going to pass these over here. And the three little sheep, there were lots more than those. But we have them so that we can remember the story. We have these three sheep. You don't have to touch the story, but you can. All right. Do y'all want to see the sheep? No. Okay. I'm going to put them back. So the shepherds were tending the sheep one late night when an angel of the Lord came to them and said, "Pay attention. Something important is happening in Bethlehem." And they were so scared about that, their hearts started beating really fast. I bet Tom loves it when I bump. Their hearts were beating. What they had heard from the angel. They wouldn't do that. We also have a cow. And the reason we have a cow is because Jesus was born in a barn and he was put in a manger. And the word manger means feeding trough. And so when the cow came to get her breakfast that morning, instead of her breakfast, there was a baby. I wonder what she thought. And sometimes when we tell stories like this and we remember, we know that people show up late sometimes. Have you ever shown up late to something? Have you ever been late? Yes. What have you been late to?
School.
Yeah, that's a classic one. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What is it? Everything. Everything. Yeah. What about out there? Have y'all ever been late to anything before? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Lots of agreement from the choir. Sorry, you don't know what that's about. Right. Sometimes we show up late. Sometimes we show up late to friendships we're supposed to have. Sometimes we're late on forgiving people or being nice to people. You know, the wise people, the three kings, they were late. They came well after, long time after the birth of Jesus. And they were called magi. And the reason they were called magi is because they were so smart, people thought they were magic. And that's where we get the word magic from, magi. And they had these maps of the stars. And one night they saw a star they didn't recognize on any of their maps, and they followed that star, and it brought them to Jesus. So the thing about babies is that they grow up, right? Babies grow up. Yeah. And the story about Jesus is that Jesus grew up and loved a lot of folks and healed a lot of folks and taught a lot of folks and cared for people, but also died on the cross, which is really sad. But, you know, sometimes sad things can also be joyful in an Easter kind of way. And that's strange, and so we have to figure it out. But on this Christmas day, we have both these parts of Jesus. And notice that both Jesus, the grown-up Jesus and the cross, and the baby Jesus, have their arms way out, ready to give you a hug. Now, I wonder, I've got some questions. I wonder what your favorite part of the Holy Family is.
Mine is the cow that found the baby in her feeding trough.
That is my favorite part. Oh, yeah. So when I put the baby and the cross together, that was your favorite part. Okay. Thank you. I wonder if we have everything in this story that we need. I wonder where you are, who you are in this story. I think I'm one of the sheep there. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and go back to your seats. Now, if you really want to, if you go into the narthex, that's that room right outside there, and you didn't before the service, there are some cookies out there. If you didn't get it, oh, you got the cookie. You've been to the cookie table. You know about it. You haven't been out there yet? So there's cookies out there if you'd like to grab a cookie. All right, thanks, everybody.
Reading from Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is He who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
After it had been announced to the shepherds by the angels, they went to Bethlehem. They found the scene, the Mary and Joseph, just the way that it had been told to them. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So language is important, I've learned. The words you use, the things that you say, how you say it, those things are important. They're particularly important when you are in a country where folks speak a language that was not the language that you were speaking when you were born and was raised. And so when I was in Peru, I made many gaffes in Spanish. I made many mistakes. One of the first was when I got there, and this is how I knew I was in for hurt, because I went to Peru thinking, everything's going to be great. I've taken like 3 years of Spanish. I should be fine. That was not right. I get there, and I'm hosted by this little family, and I'm living in their house, and I meet the daughter there, and she asks me a very simple and straightforward question. How many siblings do you have? Which in Spanish is, ¿cuántos hermanos tienen? And the words hermanos and manos, that is, the word siblings, and the word hands sound very similar to me in Spanish. And so when she asked me that question, I missed the air at the very beginning of it. And I only heard the manos part, which is hands. And so I thought she was asking me how many hands I had. So I said, dos. which happened to be the amount of siblings that I have, too. All worked out. There were many other mistakes that I made. It's easy to make mistakes as we cross languages, and this is also true with the Gospel of Luke. So as the Gospel of Luke comes to us, it is a story about people who spoke Aramaic, written for a group of people who spoke Latin and Greek. And then it gets translated into English, right? And so as this story comes to us, the story that we're familiar with from Luke, and make no mistake, every year we read the birth story from Luke. And the reason that that is because Luke's gospel has the largest and most robust account of the birth of Jesus out of all of the gospels in the New Testament. It is the most filled out eventful version of the birth of Jesus in the New Testament. So every year it comes to us from Luke. And the story that we're familiar with, I think, and this is true of me, I think that when we hear it, we get the sense of a very bucolic, that is, a very peaceful or serene or pastoral sort of scene where these shepherds are on a peaceful, clear night, and they get this very lovely visit from an angel, and Mary and Joseph are there with the baby, and everything is beautiful and holy night and very peaceful, silent night. This is not what Luke is talking to us about. Luke actually is talking about a night that is fraught with danger, that is a little bit scary. Luke begins by telling us that this birth happens situated in the rule of these people during the time that these three people were ruling in different parts of the Roman Empire, which is to say to us that he is situating for an audience this story in a time that was fraught with political upheaval. It would be like me saying to you something like, in the time before the two towers fell, or saying to you something like, in the time when Reagan and Gorbachev stood up against each other. You know, it's situating you in a time that is different from this time, a time where things were uncertain and unclear. And in the midst of that uncertain, unclear time, the Roman Empire is counting people. That is, making a commodity of them. And this is no small thing if you are in Jerusalem or in Israel. It's no small thing because that means the Roman government is counting you so that they can commodify you, so that they can make a taxpayer of you. So this story situates us with two different juxtaposed or two different ideas that are sitting next to each other. One in which people are being quantified, counted, and commodified. And the other is a birth, a miracle in which life springs forth, the worth of which could never be measured, right? I think that it's true that experienced good preachers, what they do is they look at the scaffolding of the theology of the gospel readings, and then they know that stuff, and then they look at the painting that happens because of the scaffolding, and then they give you the painting. That's what a better, more experienced preacher might do. I'm going to give you the scaffolding, if that's okay. So just take a moment here and bear with me. This might be the boring part of the sermon. It gets more interesting, I promise. So here's what's going on in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is up to three things. Here's the scaffolding. You ready? It's up here in front of the wall. So the three things are, first, Luke is writing to Theophilus. He opens his gospel by saying, I write this to you, good and faithful Theophilus. Theophilus is a word that means, it's a proper name, a noun, but it means God lover. And scholars argue about who the God lover was, who Theophilus was, why it was that Luke was writing. Did somebody commission him to write this letter? What I think that Luke is up to is writing a story to a group of people who purport to be lovers of God, which I just want to take a moment and think about that as everybody in this room right now, people who are lovers of God. And what we know from later on in the gospel, that a commandment to love God does not stand on its own. Loving God is something we do with all of ourselves, our hearts, our souls, our minds, but it doesn't stand alone. The second part of that commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so it is impossible to be a Theophilus, a God lover, a Theophilus, that word is gone. It's, and I'm, you know, if I were in Peru right now, this is what happened to me back when I was shaking that girl's hand, right? So to be a God lover, Luke is saying to us, you don't get off the hook with just loving God, that this is an endeavor in which we love each other, right? So that's one thing that Luke is up to. The second thing that Luke is doing is he sets up a bunch of prophecies and then he fulfills them. He shows you how this thing was prophesied and then it came to pass. And so the first one, the very first one we get is an angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and says, John the Baptist is going to pave the way for the Messiah. And Zechariah doesn't even believe that he's capable of having a child. And he loses his power of speech in that process. But then the baby is born. His wife becomes pregnant. And so you get a prophecy and a fulfillment. The shepherds hear this story. There is a child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Go and see. They find it just as it is. And there are several of these throughout the gospel. Prophecy and fulfillment. Until we get to a point where there is a prophecy, that is, Christ will return, and that will be upheaval. It will be a dangerous time for all of you. Christ will return, and not one person, and I think Luke is writing to all of us at this moment, and not one person will pass away before they witness these things happen. That is, not one person will go their lifetime without witnessing the return of Christ in this world. And so that prophecy in the gospel doesn't get a fulfillment. And so what Luke is up to is saying to us, so I've set you up a prophecy here, and you get to do the work of figuring out how it's fulfilled in your own life, in your world, in your community. The third thing that Luke is up to is he turns everything upside down on its head. So Jesus, our Christ, our God, in breaking on the world for Luke is a turning upside down. It is a lifting up what was brought down. It is the first or last, and the last or first. And we see this happen over and over again. The baby is born to rule the world in a manger, in a barn. So one is vulnerable is most powerful. We get the story in Luke of Lazarus and the rich man. You all remember this story. Lazarus is a poor man. The dogs are licking his sores. All he wants is some food off the rich man's table. He does not get it. They both die. Lazarus ends up in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man ends up in a pit, and they have to have a conversation. So the inbreaking of Christ in the world is a reversal. It's a turning upside down of things. We get the story of the prodigal son in Luke, where the child who was lost, who was eating with the pigs, is given the king's ring and the robe of glory, right? The Beatitudes in Luke, I could go on and on with these, but the Beatitudes in Luke, blessed are the poor, says Luke. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Luke says, blessed are the poor. So folks who are downtrodden, cast off, things that are forgotten and broken in this world, those are the things that get glorified as Christ breaks into the world. That is to say that those things in our lives that are most damaged, most broken, most vulnerable, those are the places where the baby will be born in power. And our job on this night, as we move into the Christmas season, is to wonder and trust and figure out how to believe that is true for us. There was a broken time in my own life. It was several years ago. I was invited to go to Peru. And I had just graduated from college. I was trying to figure out who I wanted to be and what I was going to do with my life. I had sort of quit a job. Everybody said, you should go to seminary. I didn't want to go to seminary. I wasn't sure what I believed. I didn't know which direction I was going in. I was in love with a person who was not in love with me. It was a hard time. It was a hard moment. I don't know, I could look out there and I bet some of you, all of you, many of you have been in this place in your own lives, right? And so a friend of mine said, why don't you go to Peru and work for this Catholic priest? And that sounded like a great idea. And so I went, and there I was, there in Peru, making mistakes with the language over and over again. And I worked in this little office, and I did a lot of work where I was writing to officials in the United States trying to get visas granted for folks who are trying to travel to the United States. And I needed to get out of that office. And so I had this boss who was a Catholic priest. His name was John. I said, John, I got to get out of here. I need to get out of this office. I need to get in touch with folks. I need to be in the community. He said, I've got just the thing for you. So one Wednesday afternoon, he takes me down to this orphanage called Hogar de la Paz, which in Spanish is Home of the Peace. And it's run by the Sisters of Charity. That is Teresa of Calcutta's mission and group. And so picture this. This is an orphanage with many, many women in different stages of their life. So there are children and infants. There are also young adults and older folks. And almost all of them, to a person, is dealing with some sort of intellectual or physical disability. And the people who are running this orphanage are Indian nuns, women who are like half my height. And when I walked in there, what I knew to be true right up front was this was one of the most broken and difficult places that I've ever walked into in my entire life. And it was hard to be there. This was not like an orphanage that you would find here in the United States. A lot of the facility was dirt floor. Some of it wasn't even covered. It was open air. There was high walls that surrounded the compound so that people wouldn't break into this thing and do whatever. And so they had. I'll never forget the. You're supposed to be walking in an orphanage, and instead of seeing, you know, any kind of motifs or paintings or anything like that, instead what you're seeing is a wall, and at the top of that wall, there's concrete, and glass has been put into the concrete so that people can't climb over the walls. I saw terrible things. There were women who were in football helmets because they kept hitting their head against things. There were women who were tied up because they would run away or do something, and there wasn't enough people to take care of them. It was a terrible place to be. And it was there that I met Olga. Olga was in her 30s. She had been there since she was a baby. Somebody had left her. Nobody knew who her parents were. The orphanage had named her Olga. And she was dealing with pretty severe physical and intellectual disabilities and problems. And despite the fact that she had these disabilities, the thing that you need to know about Olga is that she had this kindness and joy and generosity and love about her. And you encountered that every time that you encountered Olga. She had this infectious joy about her. And so she was able to communicate with you through a smile across her face or a gleam in her eyes. And I found myself, every time that I came into the presence of Olga, sort of at peace with what was going on in Peru, in my own life, and what I was encountering in that place. And the nuns would have us do these things. What they needed was able-bodied people. And so they would have me and other volunteers come in, and we'd lift people into chairs and take them to different parts of the facility, maybe to eat or to have physical therapy or to do activities or something along those lines. And so I would, every time I came, I would get Olga up and into a chair, and we would go to a room, and these physical therapists would come in, and they would stretch her limbs out. Her limbs were sort of drawn up tight to her body, and they would stretch her limbs out, and that was really painful for her, and she would cry, and I would cry. And then I would take her to another room, and in this room there were puzzles, like tons of puzzles, and she had to have known and was intimately familiar with every one of those puzzles. I don't know how long they had been there. She got a particular kick out of the fact that she could do the puzzles faster than me. And so my Wednesdays were a time of connecting with Olga, connecting with myself, being at peace, being sort of separated from this broken place that I was in. Luke gives us a story about a people who are broken. Mary and Joseph are vulnerable. Something difficult has happened to them. And in the midst of something difficult happening to them, they were forced to leave their home and travel to be counted, to be commodified, to be made a number. And when they got to where they were going, they were so vulnerable that there wasn't even room for them. There wasn't a place for them. And instead of becoming a commodity, they added a family. They created a life. This is a prophecy in fulfillment. This is to say that this is how Christ, our God, breaks in to the world around us. It should not be lost upon us, none of us. If anything I say tonight, it's this. It should not be lost upon us that when God decided that God wanted to break into the world in a physical way, God did not send a politician or a soldier or a diplomat. God sent a baby, a vulnerable, helpless baby. And what I'm learning in my own life is that babies are change agents. They turn everything upside down. And that's certainly what Christ did. Christ was born in these humble circumstances, and maybe Christ never left those circumstances. Christ made his life with folks who were hurting and hungry and sick. And so on this Christmas Eve, heading into the Christmas season, we sit with a prophecy, one that says that Christ will break into this world again and again and again. And we wonder about the mangers in our hearts and where Christ is going to be born, how Christ is going to be born. And if I would guess, it is not some powerful or prestigious or biased place within your heart where Christ is going to be born. Instead, I bet it is some broken place, some loss, some failure or setback, some broken relationship, some opportunity for forgiveness, some diagnosis, some anxiety, some moment, some time, some issue that is going on. That is where the Christ child is going to be born, just like in Bethlehem, in that dangerous place. Because we will not be commodified. We will not be counted as statistics. Instead, our very worth is immeasurable. I remember having to leave Olga. I was in Peru for 6 months. That's as long as you can stay there without getting an extended visa. And so I knew that time was coming, and I knew I needed to say goodbye to her, and I didn't know exactly how to do that. But I knew that it was important to do it well. And so I wrote down what I wanted to say in Spanish. And that way, I wasn't going to trip over not knowing the vocabulary or whatever it was going to be. And so I wrote this thing down, a little treatise of goodbye, right? And we do our usual thing. We eat, do the puzzles, the physical therapy, and we sit together, and we're across from each other, and I begin to read this thing to her. And even though I've written it out, I'm also stumbling over it. And about a minute and a half to 2 minutes into my little spiel there, Olga does something that I did not know she was capable of doing. She reached out, she put her hand on the piece of paper, and she looked me in my eyes, and she said, "Te amo," which is, "I love you," in Spanish. And that was the moment that the Christ child was born in the manger of my heart, that I knew this God thing that we talk about, this Jesus Christ thing, is real. And it was personified in this human being that was in one of the most broken places that I'd ever encountered in my life. And I knew that what being Christ meant was having the audacity and the strength and the courage and the trust to give away all that you have, which for Olga was herself, her love, her generosity, her spirit of love and joy. That was what she had to give away. There is a prophecy standing over us. The Christ will be born in the mangers of our hearts, in our community, in our world. The world wants to count us. It wants to commodify us. It wants to make us into statistics and numbers and consumers. But we will not have it. We will not have it. We will look for the places instead where the miracles, the joys, the new life, the bubbling up will be born in our hearts. And we will proclaim that because we are God lovers. Amen. I invite you to stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Grant that in our earthly pilgrimage, we may always be supported by this fellowship of love and prayer, and know ourselves to be surrounded by their witness to your power and mercy. We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom all our intercessions are acceptable through the Spirit, and who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done
and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved
you with our whole heart.
We have not loved
our neighbors as ourselves.
We are
truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of
your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might abide in your way and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Fill that out, put that in a living place. Glad you're part of our community. I want to say a quick thank you to our choir. And I'm going to invite you to stand up and just applaud them because they've worked really hard. So you're welcome to receive the chalice of mine. A third person will come around with a little pot, and that pot in it has consecrated wine and bread. And you, instead of taking either, you can take the pot. And here's what I ask. I know this is a lot. I ask that you open that, consume it, and then hold on to it. And when you get home, rinse it out and throw it away. And when you rinse it out, I know this is a lot, that you rinse it out outside, that you pour water in it and you throw it out, not in the sewer, but in the grass. And the reason for that is that we believe that when we consecrate these elements, that Christ literally comes among us as the body and blood. And so if you take one of the pots, I just ask you that you treat it respectfully when you leave here. One more announcement, and I promise I'll stop. You notice you have candles. So we're going to sing Silent Night, but we're going to lower the lights at the end of the service when we sing Silent Night. I will come and have a candle. I will light the candle at the end of the pew, and then you will light the candles next to you. And here's a little tip about that. When you're lighting a candle, the person who has the lit candle, don't tip your candle. The person who has the not lit candle, they tip the candle. That way you won't get wax on yourself. Anything else? Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Is it her? that this baby was the Christ child. I believe it too, and we celebrate. If they were here, I'd say, tell me all that you
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive the power to become your children. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thank you. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. At the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Go ahead and grab that extra chalice. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Thank you.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth from this place in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Let me stoke it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is born this night. Go forth into the world to love and serve him.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.